Hello, all you Fran Not Fines. My name is Sienna and welcome to Somewhat Panicking, a podcast that explores the pressure of having to achieve various goals before a certain age or time frame. This week, let's somewhat panic about creativity, expressions of seemingly correct and incorrect creativity, and whether you're too old to be creative. It's time for a solo episode because I can't escape the ringing in my ears of a few simple words. Everybody has a podcast. Well, everybody does everything, yet painters, musicians, films, and books seem to hold a much higher regard in people's minds compared to podcasting. Have I not achieved much in life because I don't have an art exhibition, nor a book sold at stores, a song I can sing with my own lyrics, or a movie I directed myself? Creativity may seem worthless if there's no accolades associated with it and if many have created something similar before you. The School of Life website sums up this fantasy of creativity by writing, "We are far too focused on creativity's dramatic high points within a narrow, cliched band of activities, like the writing of a prize-winning novel or the making of a film that receives accolades at Cannes or Berlin. By this standard, almost no one can be creative, and creativity must remain an elite and even freakish anomaly entirely disconnected from ordinary life." And with such high standards, no doubt someone will tell you the thing you created is shit. Not so much in those words, but perhaps with overgeneralized statements like, "Everybody has a podcast," a few words implying that your creative pursuit is a waste of time, worthless, and stupid. And if this statement holds true, if you apply this logic to anything you'd like to try or become proficient in, then what's the point in anything if everyone's done it before you? Why paint? Why act? Why write song lyrics? Why write a book? There are many books already. Imagine if someone told Charles Darwin at age 49, a year before his book On the Origin of Species was published at age 50, "Oh, but Charles, honey, everybody writes books." So is the podcasting world truly as saturated as the statement "everybody has a podcast" claims? Currently, there are approximately 2 million podcasts. According to AmplifyMedia.com, out of these 2 million podcasts, 26% have published only one episode, 37% have around two episodes, 44% have published three episodes, and 36% have produced 10 or more episodes. That drops the number of podcasts from 2 million to 720,000 seemingly active podcasts with at least 10 episodes. So out of approximately 7.7 billion people in the world, only 720,000 of them, myself included, appear to have a podcast with at least 10 episodes. And that's because, although many people don't think so, podcasting is hard to do. It's hard to create a high turnover of engaging episodes, at least one a week, and with more successful podcasts delivering 2 to 3 episodes a week. To put it into further perspective, there are 100 million paid downloads of Tetris, more than 600 million blog posts, 3.5 billion soccer fans, and 5 billion sold copies of the Bible. I'd feel a lot more comfortable if people said, "Everybody writes blogs, has a copy of the Bible, and plays Tetris while watching a soccer game." It's not so much about podcasts versus other creative mediums. It's the age-old tale of receiving harsh criticism, perhaps masked by playfulness, for doing what you enjoy, and the fear you have left it too late to pursue any creative endeavors, even just for fun. Mark Manson, author of the book The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, felt similarly when he wrote in an article, "When I was a child, I used to write stories. I used to sit in my room for hours by myself writing away. Not because I wanted anyone to read it, not because I wanted to impress my parents or teachers, but for the sheer joy of it. And then for some reason, I stopped, and I don't remember why. We all have a tendency to lose touch with what we loved as a child. Something about the social pressures of adolescence and professional pressures of young adulthood squeezes the passion out of us. We're taught that the only reason to do something is if we're somehow rewarded for it, and the transactional nature of the world inevitably stifles us and makes us feel lost or stuck." Is it true that as we get older, we lose our creativity? I was hoping to find research and articles that clearly went against this idea, but unfortunately there is some research highlighting that as we age, our creativity declines, with some research suggesting the peaks of creativity are experienced in people's 20s and again in their 30s or 40s, declining after middle age. But why is this? According to Dr. Harry Moody, interviewed for a New York Times article, often the decline in creativity comes about because people's underlying capabilities are not being challenged. They're locked into jobs or situations that are boring. The suggestion there is creativity doesn't so much decline due to aging and potentially a loss of cognitive ability, but due to the repetition, routine, and added responsibilities in our lives that lowers the likelihood of challenging ourselves with learning new skills. A study published by the Association for Psychological Science, conducted with over 200 pensioners, reveals those who learned a new and mentally demanding activity, like photography, were more likely to improve their cognitive functioning and memory after 12 weeks. This was compared to those who undertook less demanding activities and ones they had done before, such as listening to classical music or completing word puzzles. It was noted that activities like these wouldn't bring obvious benefits to an aging mind. As the study reports, it seems it is not enough to just get out and do something. It is important to get out and do something that is unfamiliar and mentally challenging. Forbes article, Why Our Brains Become Less Creative as We Get Older, highlighted the same sentiment in that we become prisoners of our own success. Sticking with what works makes us both more successful and less creative. Unfortunately, what works is what worked in the past and misses the enigmatic paths that lead to unexpected surprises. Studies show for those aged over 65, people involved in weekly art programs have fewer doctor visits and take less medication than those without creative outlets. Creativity is proven to be highly beneficial, but sometimes it's what others think of this creativity that stops us from pursuing it further. Mark Manson has written a lot about not giving a fuck as to what others think, and wrote, "Before you are able to be good at something and do something important, you must first suck at something and have no clue what you're doing. And in order to suck at something and have no clue what you're doing, you must embarrass yourself in some shape or form, often repeatedly. And most people try to avoid embarrassing themselves, namely because it sucks. Embrace embarrassment. Feeling foolish is part of the path to achieving something important, something meaningful." I love the idea of embarrassment leading to or fueling creativity and how it completely turns feeling embarrassed on its head from its deep, negative connotations into something almost typical because you're bound to experience it. And if you're not feeling embarrassment, that is now atypical because you're not doing anything creative or meaningful. It's amazing how a shift in mindset can rewrite the stories we tell ourselves or the stories people impose on us. Author James Clear said, "The list of mistakes that you can never recover from is very short." I think most of us realize this on some level. We know that our lives will not be destroyed if that book we write doesn't sell, or if we get turned down by a potential date, or if we forget someone's name when we introduce them. It's not necessarily what comes after the event that worries us. It's the possibility of looking stupid, feeling humiliated, or dealing with embarrassment along the way that prevents us from getting started at all. I definitely felt foolish when I was told, "Everybody has a podcast." I felt embarrassed, ashamed I was actively contributing to something deemed to be so annoying. I felt it wasn't good enough, or the wrong pursuit of creativity. I thought, what's the point of continuing, and spiraled into a dark abyss where everybody else's pursuits of creativity were far better and worthwhile than my own. But in the midst of self-pity, the anger kept festering and really fueled me to do some research, which in turn made me more infuriated and reminded me as to some of the reasons why I wanted to create a podcast in the first place. Research conducted in regards to gender bias and creativity revealed both men and women associated creativity with stereotypically masculine traits, that is, independence, daring, more than with feminine traits such as cooperativeness and sensitivity. In another study, the researchers asked subjects to evaluate a house design but varied the gender of the architect. Both men and women rated creativity higher when told that the architect was a man, even though the house design was identical. As Kate Adams titled her article for Harvard Business Review recounting these study results, even women think men are more creative. And which gender told me everybody has a podcast, not on one occasion, but two, both in a seemingly weird flirtatious way that may have been negging, which makes me even more annoyed? Yes, male. This isn't an us versus them mentality, nor an I hate men rant, hash brown, not all men, whatever, but I found it so interesting that women tended to be more supportive while men were cutting me down. Although studies show even women are conditioned to underestimate other women. And I realized the conditioning rang true because I initially underestimated myself. And honestly, I still do. In the beginning, I thought, I can't create a podcast until I find a suitable co-host. I asked myself, who would listen to one woman talking the whole time? Shouldn't I focus on my career or, you know, finding a husband? Even though I don't want to get married, you can listen to episode 1 for more views on marriage. I shouldn't be pursuing a silly endeavor of sitting on the floor of my bedroom and talking into a microphone, getting exasperated every time I fuck up a random word. Then I started to find podcasts that did what I thought I couldn't or shouldn't do. I found podcasts with solo female hosts, their episodes going over an hour, talking passionately about their chosen subject. I found podcasts without intro music, some episodes 2 hours long, others 4 minutes, and in all of them, a world of knowledge and sharing experiences. Kimberly Wang writes about the top common factors that inhibit creativity, including fear of failure, impatience, getting overwhelmed by many ideas and experiencing a paralysis that leads to developing no ideas, as well as poor culture. The article quotes author Tina Seelig. She says, "For some cultures, incentives are put into place for crushing ideas as opposed to stimulating them. For example, if people get criticized if they try something big and new and it fails, then everyone around is resistant to trying big new things. They're going to do incremental little things because they're afraid that if they do something big and it doesn't work, they're going to get punished." Yeah, like that guy who said to me, "Everybody has a podcast." Well, fuck off. I don't want to hear it, especially as I heard it already from someone else who said the exact same thing before ever listening to an episode. Even if people don't like it and minimize what I actually do on here by saying something like, and this was actually said to me, "I could talk to my friend for half an hour about mayonnaise and record it," I will continue to make a podcast, to edit audio, to write and rewrite all my swirling thoughts into clearer passages so others can follow my line of thought with me, to research and read news articles, journal articles and studies to gather the best information to go along with improving the storytelling, and to believe in one woman to host, find guests, allow people to feel comfortable to share their stories, to hone in on how one story can help people feel less lost and alone, especially as we all get older, thinking our creative pursuits are long gone rather than that we have a whole lifetime to pursue them, to try and try again, and have fun embarrassing ourselves along the way. And if I didn't make it clear enough to that guy, what I'm really trying to say to him is, fuck you.